For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, and there we will read the 53rd chapter. We turn to a chapter, Isaiah 53, which the children know most of very well. As you memorize it these weeks in Sunday school, let us read together Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. As far as God's holy word. Dear congregation, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That was a question for us, wasn't it? The question of last week, the question of God himself through Isaiah. Who has said in their heart, amen to that report of the Savior who is so high, having humbled himself so low, that you're convinced in the depths of your heart he is indeed the Savior. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That you've come to see such power, such grace in him. By the grace of God, is that you? Then what do you confess? If the Lord has led you to believe that report, and has revealed his arm, his power, do you then confess that you are good enough to come to the Lord's Supper? Is that what it is? Or is it our text this morning? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 6 forms our text in this communion service, and what this text is an astonishing confession. It is a communicant's astonishing confession. And first of all, about our waywardness, and secondly, his burden. The communicant's astonishing confession about our waywardness, his burden. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's just not a doctrinal objective statement. Everyone has gone astray. No, that is a confession, isn't it? All we have gone astray. It's a confession, a recognition, an admission. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Vilkas preached here on confessing sin. That was an aspect in Psalm 32, wasn't it? And here we have an example of that also in Isaiah 53, which speaks so beautifully about Christ. In the midst of it, there is that confession, no longer excusing it, no longer defending it, no longer ignoring it, no longer explaining it away, but confessing it. We've gone astray. And that going astray involves wandering from the right path to go the wrong path. It involves leaving the path that leads to the right place to go about in some other path that leads to the wrong place, and ending up where you shouldn't be, ending up lost, ending up being somewhere and you don't know where to go anymore, you don't know how to find the right way anymore. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And that's a tendency of a sheep, isn't it? It'll tend to go from one clump of grass to something else it sees, to something else, and it will wander away. And it knows how to wander away. But when it is there away from the shepherd and away from the rest of the sheep, it doesn't know how to get back. A dog can find its way home again. A dog can find its master again. But a sheep that wanders away doesn't know how to find its way back again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've left God's path. We've headed in the wrong direction. We've left God and we have gone on our own way without him. The confession here is not simply that we sometimes have a tendency to go in the wrong way in certain aspects of our lives. No, it says we have gone astray. We actually have gone in the wrong direction. We actually have left God. And our life is proof of it. Isaiah is writing there to the covenant people of Israel. And it's a special reference to the people there in exile. But actually, it wasn't just those people in exile, but if you took the whole history of that covenant people through the Old Testament and you wrote a book of it, you could title it, We Went Astray. There's more you could say. But if you looked at the people and what they did, what happened? In the wilderness, after being delivered from Egypt, what did they do? They murmured and they wandered and they complained and they went astray. And when they came into the land in the days of the judges, what happened? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And when God gave them kings, what happened? Every time again they went astray to idolatry and to rely on other countries and to all the sin and everything else in Israel until God finally scattered them in exile. We have gone astray. Time and again. My friend, can you lift yourself above Israel? Can you lift yourself above the people of Israel and say, now Isaiah, he's preaching to those exiles and he's preaching to people who did indeed go astray, but that doesn't apply to me. Have you not found that inclination to, and that bent in the wrong direction towards sin? And that disinclination to serve God? That desire to do what pleases me, and that resistance to what pleases God? That is that going astray, isn't it? Going in the wrong way, is it not? It says also, we have turned everyone to his own way. Not all straying sheep are found in the same place. Straying sheep, not only they distance themselves from each other. A few sheep may be near us, a few sheep may be like us, but others will be far from us. Because the more you go astray, you go your own way, which may be different from someone else's way. And you may see the error of their ways as they go astray there and say, I would never go over there, but in the meantime you're found over here, which is also astray. And the further astray we go, then the less of a bond that there is, the less of love, brotherly love there is in the midst of a congregation. But the worst thing is not that we wander away from each other, but that we wander away from God, from the shepherd. Again, that can be in many different ways. There's those who abandon the word of God altogether. They adopt their own religions. In an obvious way, they go astray and turn their back on God. Now, none of us have done that. We're here in church. And yet, what way have we gone? Have we gone in the way of picking and choosing from the word of God what suits us and what pleases us? Twisting scriptures and setting aside certain truths of scripture and having our own ideas and our own ideas being more important than what the Word of God says, then we stray into our own ideas and our own opinions and we leave the shepherd. Or we may hold to an orthodoxy and we may insist that we want to believe the whole truth and the whole counsel of God, and yet not practice it. We can have the word of a God in our hands as we turn our back on God and go astray. We can even have that word on our lips as we go the wrong way. Because we have the word of God, but we don't have the God of that word. Heart bent away from God. Heart bent towards so many other things. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Like sheep. Actually, congregation, it's far worse than sheep. Because a sheep, he can't help it. That's his nature. He doesn't have the same instinct that a dog has. He doesn't have the same instinct that even a butterfly has, a monarch butterfly, or that even a pigeon has, that knows how to get home. That's just the nature of a sheep. But who of us can say this morning, yeah, that's just how I am, and I can't help it, and God can't blame me for it, because that's how I'm made? No, we were not created that way at all to go astray. We were created to be close with the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to have fellowship with the Lord, to delight in the Lord, to have Him as our joy and our pleasure, and never to even think of going in a different direction than He points out. We were created with God, but in Adam, we deliberately, willfully fell from God. We purposely turned our backs on Him and said farewell to Him. We headed our own way and lost God. And now, when we sin, that sin is willful. Our will is corrupt and our will is bent away from God. That's what our sin shows. Our way is called His own way. The way she wants to go. deliberately. It's a way of rebellion against God. A way of choosing my will rather than His will. Thinking I know better than God knows how I am to live. What folly. What sin. The text calls it iniquity. And the basic meaning of iniquity is to bend and to twist and to distort and to make crooked. It's the opposite of righteousness, which is to go in the straight path. Iniquity is going our own crooked ways rather than God's way. But that word iniquity also includes the aspect of guilt. It's not only the deed of sin, but also its worthiness of punishment. This going our own way loads us with guilt, demands God punish us, demands God condemn us, demands God curse us. Maybe you say, I don't want to hear about these things, especially on a Lord's Supper morning. If I begin to think too much about my sin, then how can I come to the Lord's Supper? I've been trying to fix myself up. If you've forgotten that call of the first, that first call in the Lord's Supper form this past week, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them. That's a call. That in a week of preparation, and also even in this very morning when the Lord's Supper is to be held, that we consider our sin and the curse due to them. And if you truly do so, what's the effect? O Lord, I have gone astray. That's not just a confession. Oh, of course, we are all sinners, and that's just all how we are. We are human. No, to confess we have gone astray. If it's just a painless confession, it's just empty words. And if that confession of our sin is just empty words, then also Christ is but an empty word to you. If Christ is but an empty word to you, what place do you have there at the table? The Lord's Supper form says, let each one consider his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God. True confession is confession with pain. How dreadful that I, as a sick sheep, have wandered from that healing shepherd, that I, as a foolish sheep, have wandered from that wise shepherd, that I, as a helpless sheep, have wandered from that caring shepherd, that I, as a guilty sheep, have wandered from that redeeming shepherd, that I, as an ungrateful sheep, have wandered from that shepherd of love. What a wretch I am for wandering from him. But that is left. To humble and abhor and loathe yourself before God. That's painful. Also before the Lord's Supper. To discover that those words of the form, that I loathe and humble myself on account of my sin against God, are not just a form, but they are reality. I have gone astray. Then all that self-righteousness flees away like mist before the sun. Then all that automatism that I am good enough and that is why I can go to the Lord's Supper, that all flees away. But then all that comfortable staying away from the Lord's Supper, then you can't comfortably do so any longer either. Because then you long to partake, you long to share in that deliverance from your iniquity, which is pictured there at the Lord's Supper and signified and sealed there, then you can't automatically go with little thought, because you feel, who am I, a wayward sheep, to sit at the table of the Lord? All we like sheep have gone astray. And what then? And what can a sheep then add to that confession, I have gone astray? And now we stray no longer. If only that were so. And yet listen to Psalm 119, which we hope to sing, the psalm which is so filled with love to the will and the law of God as more precious than anything else. The psalmist loves and desires to go in the way of the Lord. And yet how does he end his psalm? At the end of the psalm he cries out, O Lord, thy servant has gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. And that speaks then of a change, doesn't it? He now desires indeed to go in that way which he never desired before. It is now a burden that he goes astray, and yet it's a reality that he does go astray. And so the next thing to say after we have gone astray cannot be, and we stray no longer. Can it then be, all we like sheep have gone astray, and now we have turned the right way, we have done it. Listen to the text. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord. Now that we have done our doings, and that has been to go astray, now we read about the Lord in this text, of what the Lord will do. And if you mourn and loathe and humble yourself, then you can feel the only thing that the Lord can do for a person like me is cast me away and have no dealings with me and say, who are you to come into my presence and depart from me because you are laden with iniquity? But instead, what do we read in our text? And the Lord. What? Hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's our second point. Communicant's astonishing confession that our waywardness was his burden. Our waywardness was his burden. The Lord. We read that glorious name there in the middle of our text. Sin is aimed at God. And the Lord sees all that iniquity, and he is grieved by it, and he is angered by it, and his whole holy heart is repulsed by sin, and his whole majestic being is set against sin, and his holy justice demands that every single sin that's committed be punished. Who must be punished? The one on whom that iniquity rests. Wherever he finds someone with iniquity resting upon them, his punishment must go out, and that person must be punished. Who is that? It's every sheep, every person by nature. And if you think it's not so bad with you, it's only because you're blind. That's reality. Every single one of us must be punished for our sin. But do you see what the Lord does? This God against whom sin is committed, he sees that mass of sin and guilt and iniquity. And he takes that burden that no one else has a right to lift, and no one else has the power to carry. And he takes that burden which is calling out for wrath and curse and punishment. He takes that burden of those who loathe themselves and confess, in thy judgments thou art just. He takes that iniquity and he places that upon someone. Upon him, it says. What a burden for that him to receive. A burden of iniquity laid upon him. The iniquity of all those straying and wandering and rebellious and proud and foolish people is laid upon him. Who would ever take such a burden? Upon whom would God place such a burden? That him is a servant of the Lord, who we read about introduced in chapter 52, verse 13, Behold, my servant. And what a burden this was for for this servant of the Lord to carry. The Lord said, My servant, here is a load for thee to carry, a burden of iniquity. And if that servant asks, Lord, what shall I do with that burden? Then the answer of the Lord is, My servant, thou shalt carry it all the days of thy life. And being loaded with that burden of iniquity means all the days of thy life I will come with my curse and with my wrath and with my judgment. With that load of iniquity upon thee, I will treat thee as a wayward sheep. I will treat thee as a fallen son of Adam. I will treat thee as a rebellious sinner, as a guilty wretch. I will see thee loaded with iniquity, and I will pour out my judgments upon thee. The one who bears sin must be punished, and when that servant of the Lord bears that burden of iniquity, he must be punished. The wages of sin is death. The one who transgresses must die. Who would want to be such a servant? Who would want to carry such a burden? There is a notice put in the bulletin, wanted, help wanted, someone to carry a burden like that. Who would ever volunteer? Who in this whole world would ever volunteer to carry such a burden, which would mean involve in bearing the infinite wrath of God? Everyone would slip away. But there is one who did not slip away from this task, who did not try to avoid that task, one who said already in eternity, Lo, I come, I delight to do thy will, O my God. The servant of the Lord. He delighted to do the will of God, to carry this burden. What a servant he must be. What a heart of love he must have for the Lord himself and for the will of his Lord. What a heart of devotion and obedience he has. There's none like him to carry such a burden. And you know his name, congregation, that his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came as a Lamb of God who bore that burden of iniquity. He said, Let it come on me, Father. Let me bear it away. And the Father did indeed lay that burden on Christ's shoulders to bear it away through his life, on the cross, in his death. Why? Not because the Father delighted to see the Son suffer in the flesh. He loved his Son with an infinite love. But he knew this was a way to secure salvation for those wayward sheep. He knew that the only way for those sheep to be delivered from their guilt and wayward hearts was for Christ to take that burden away. He knew none of us would ever be able to shake off that burden. None of us would ever be able to reduce that burden. He took that burden. He knew that he couldn't simply take that burden off of us and throw it away, because that iniquity cried for vengeance. So we placed it on his Son and poured out his vengeance upon his Son. He knew that was the only way for sheep to be reconciled to him and be delivered of their iniquity. Congregation, do you not see the infinite love, the infinite grace of God? But he looked down and the only thing he saw was wandering sheep laden with iniquity. He said, I will take that burden. Place it on my Son. There's no words for it. What love he must have for sheep who didn't even ask for him. What grace. grace, I say, because all that a sheep and that all that a communicant this morning can confess about himself is we have gone astray. Child of God, what did you contribute? Nothing but your waywardness and sin. There you were with all your iniquity, without excuse, and you couldn't improve yourself, and you couldn't make yourself acceptable to God, and you couldn't make yourself good enough. He let you feel that burden. To feel enough of that burden to make you realize it was beyond your power to carry it or deliver yourself from it. And then what did he do? He showed you the Savior who has taken that burden away. Where is that iniquity now? It's gone. No longer upon you. Removed. And what has he given you? It's not the righteousness of Christ. And though you confess, I have gone astray, he says, I have removed your iniquity. My servant has borne that punishment of it, and I will not demand it of you. Your guilt is cleansed. Your sin is forgiven. Your iniquity is pardoned. You are reconciled to me. I gather you as a sheep into my fold. You confess this morning, I still go astray. I still daily increase my debt of sin. And that's true. And that daily increase of your debt only daily increases your indebtedness to this Savior, to the Father in laying that iniquity upon the Lord Jesus. And the more you see of your iniquity, the greater the wonder becomes, doesn't it, that he has laid it on his servant. The more reason to love, to esteem, to trust, to follow him. Have you learned that lesson, congregation? That receiving his grace isn't about being good enough. He didn't lay the remains of sin of those who are good enough upon his Son. He laid the iniquity of sinners upon his Son. The question is not, are you good enough? Question is, are you bad enough to need this Savior on whom the Lord laid the iniquity of those who confess, all we like sheep have gone astray? When that's your confession, then he says, as truly as that confession is reality, you've gone astray. So true is the gospel. I've laid that burden of iniquity on my Son. The question is not if you are good enough, but if you find your forgiveness, your reconciliation to God in this sin-bearing servant of the Lord. That's the grace of God. And you can't but bow low before him. You can't but desire him. You can't but say he is worthy of your love. Confessing all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then as a sheep you may hear his voice, as he seeks to gather his sheep around him once more, and says, wanderers, come. Come, take, eat, and drink. The signs and seals that I have borne your iniquity freely out of love. Amen.